Analysts say the inclusion of a range of professional services in the China deal marks a shift in the focus of Australia's bilateral trade negotiations. As we've heard, Australian healthcare providers, insurers, and educational institutions will gain increased access to Chinese consumers under the deal. That's expected to drive growth for many Australian businesses and help China's economy to evolve beyond its dependence on manufacturing and construction. Business reporter Pat McGrath.
In the almost decade of negotiations leading up to today's deal, much of the focus has been on easing restrictions on the trade of goods between China and Australia. But former Australian trade negotiator Alan Oxley says the game has changed.
Well, it's a new reality. If you look at the numbers around the region now, barriers to trading goods are quite low. And in fact, we are at the point now where trade agreements are really all about opening up for foreign investment and creating new markets for service industries.
And that's what this deal appears to be aiming to do. The government says no other countries have convinced China to include services in their bilateral trade agreements. Australian healthcare providers will be able to set up private hospitals and nursing homes in China and train staff to operate them. Tourism operators can buy businesses in China, and insurers will be allowed to offer third-party car insurance to drivers on China's ever-expanding roads. Alan Oxley says the deal reflects the changing nature of Australia's domestic economy, where most people are now employed in the services sector.
I mean, in Australia, 90% of our GDP is generated from services. In Asia, you find it's much lower, but it's got to get higher. With low tariffs on goods, the markets are competitive, but their labour charges are rising. If they're going to remain competitive, they've got to make their service sectors more competitive. So it's a new wave, and it's the wave of the future.
There appear to be clear incentives for China's government.
The Chinese leadership know that they've got to get their services sectors more competitive. Services is a bigger generator of GDP, and in all the Asian economies, as they've made their manufacturing more competitive and higher priced, further growth has to be achieved by more liberalisation through services. But why Australia? Well, maybe it's because we don't have very many large global companies and their entry into the market won't be terribly disturbing and might be a good test trial of how they could manage having foreign operators in those sectors.
And the cash won't just be flowing into Australia in the form of new revenue for services businesses. Alan Oxley says the decision to raise the threshold for screening Chinese investment in Australian businesses to about $1 billion will drive a new wave of investor interest.
We did some analysis recently which showed that the delays in having to check over foreign investment approvals, most of which are approved, actually means that we reduce the amount of foreign investment we could get each year. So the billion dollar ceiling, which the United States gets, Japan gets, and China will now get, is quite important.
The National Farmers Federation's president, Brent Finlay, says he's glad that that has been met with a lowering of the threshold for Foreign Investment Review Board inspections of purchases of agricultural land to $15 million.
My understanding is that it's the same as the FTA with Korea that was signed earlier this year, and the economic partnership agreement with Japan. Again, around foreign investment, we welcome foreign investment into this country, into agriculture, but we need to know who it is and what they're doing.
But why should agricultural land be treated differently to industrial land or other types of land that attracts investment from overseas?
Well, Australian agriculture are high users of capital, and we've got a long history of foreign investment in agriculture. We shouldn't be frightened about that. We may need money to invest in Australian agriculture, and foreign money, we welcome that. We'd also welcome more domestic money.
But surely you see this as a win, because this means that agricultural land would be cheaper for Australian farmers looking to expand and buy more of it.
Oh, well, it depends whether you're a buyer or a seller of Australian agricultural land. And at the end of the day, we need capital invested in Australian agriculture. If we are to double Australian agricultural output, we also have to be mindful that we have 7 billion people in the world and we're moving to 9 billion people by 2050. Here is an opportunity to grow Australian agriculture, but also it will grow our whole Australian economy.
The National Farmers Federation President Brent Finlay ending Pat McGrath's report.